Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 749, recorded on May 1st, 2025. My name is Martin Spriggs, and this is a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. Joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Hello, Sally. How are you this morning?
I am awesome. Happy May Day. Happens to be my husband's birthday and the kickoff of what for us is known as like the May's celebration days,
because
we've got birthdays, we've got anniversary, both of us have birthdays, and Mother's Day, all in a two-week period, so party time in the Draper household.
My oldest daughter was born on Mother's Day.
Oh,
very good. By coincidence, so May is a big month for us, too, although we got more birthdays in April at this point.
That's so funny because my middle son was born not on a lovely, thoughtful Mother's Day, but on Labor Day.
Labor Day, of course.
Very fitting. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are in May, and we are at episode 749. Next time, 750. That's quite a milestone. Looking forward to that. But today's show, I think people are going to like, Sally. We are going to be talking about kind of the welcome techniques, tools, that whole welcoming experience for both members and visitors to our physical places of worship. And there are lots of things that congregations do. And we're going to talk more about what maybe our congregations do. But before that, we had an interview with Pastor Clark Schultz from Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in West Bend, Wisconsin. Happens to be where my youngest daughter goes. And they use some technology to get a check-in process with their members and visitors. So we thought, hey, that'd be a good way to kick this show off, see what somebody who's using technology to tackle this challenge. And I think they've got something good going there. So let's listen to our interview with Pastor Clark, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about it. Joining us on the show today, Pastor Clark Schultz from Shepherd of the Hills, West Bend, Wisconsin. Welcome, Clark. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Good to see everybody. And I don't know whoever's listening. Good to have you on board listening.
Yeah. Returning the favor, Clark, you had me on your show, I don't know, many years ago talking about technology. Now you're back and you're no stranger to technology. And you're on our technology advisory committee, in fact, and we appreciate your service there. But that's not what we wanted to talk to you about. So we'll get to that in a minute. Why don't you let everybody know who Clark Schultz is, a little bit of your history, family, interests, ministry, that kind of stuff.
I grew up in the pre-outlet mall, Johnson Creek, or Creek, depends if you're from town or out of town, and went to Northwestern Prep. And then went to Northwestern College, vicared under Pastor John Parlow up in St. Mark, Green Bay.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And that's usually where I say I started to dip my toes into trying new things. And if it fails, well, try something else. And then instead of going back to, for my senior year, I should have graduated SEM in 97, I emergency taught at Luther Prep School doing the tutoring. And for those that don't know tutoring, it's not where you're sitting down just helping a student with their homework. It's, as I always would describe it, yelling at students for trying to do the same dumb stuff I tried doing. And I think that's where our paths crossed, Martin.
Yeah, probably.
Living with your kids. And That was the
Hopefully, you
start.
weren't yelling at my kids
I
too
was just
much.
wondering. Let's get the
They
scoop
were good.
here.
All the sports kids are good. And we even have Yana here, so it's great to serve her at Shepherd of the Hills. And then from there, I went and had a hot minute at a mission congregation in Oostburg, which was strongly Dutch Reformed. The saying there was, if you're not Dutch, you're not much. And then after about 3 years there, prep came knocking again. I was single, and they asked me to be someone to travel and encourage for ministry for our prep school. And that was something that I loved and enjoyed. And then one of the things that really touched my heart, I was called to the arch rival to prep, which was Lakeside, and then spent 15 years there teaching religion, encouraging students to consider ministry, and coaching boys and girls soccer and doing the drama. And then about 6 years ago, a call came to Shepherd of the Hills, and my wife, Kristen, daughter of a pastor, always said that she was never going to marry a pastor, but we know how that works. Every call I had after we were married, she was like, "Nope, I'm pregnant. Nope, she's a nurse practitioner. I just signed a contract." After hanging up the phone on the West Bend call, I told her, expecting her to give me the no excuses. She said, "Where's this one to?" I said, "West Bend." And she's, "Oh, I grew up there." So I said, "Okay, check one." And then check box two, Pastor Noel is here. He and I, our paths had crossed through college. He's a little bit younger than me. And so having someone that I could work with, not having been in the parish for a hot minute, as I say, it was great to have him and continue to work with him. And just the way the style of worship is that we have here at Shepherd of the Hills and the atmosphere, it was home from the minute we visited and accepted the call. And this is where we're at 5, 6 years later.
All right. Awesome. Yeah,
Sounds
my
like a
daughter
fun
really
ride.
enjoys being there. Neat vibe there. So what we wanted to talk to you about, and I had heard kind of through my daughter that you have recently introduced, I don't know how recently, but certainly since she's brought it up, a check-in, a kind of a technology-enabled check-in process for members and visitors alike. When we thought, hey, that's really not something we have talked a lot about on the show and might be something that congregations are considering. I know our congregation down in Big Bend, Wisconsin, we're kind of thinking through friendship register versus connect cards versus other tools, and thought, hey, this would be great timing to talk to you about kind of your process about bringing this digital check-in process to your church. So talk us through the decision to do that, what you came from, and how it works for the
Yeah, well,
member slash visitor.
when we five years ago, I would say our congregation was in the 600s, 700s. In the last couple of years, God has blessed us that it dipped into the 900s to 1,000. And Pastor Noel was the man that has been here for at least 15 years himself. And he's the guy that would always, still does every once in a while, it's good to have the paper and pen, would write down people he'd see or if it was a visitor. And then we would use the friendship registers. And then obviously when I always say Thanos snapped his fingers how many years ago when COVID hit, things kind of changed a little bit. And we started thinking about, well, what happens, God forbid, like if something were to happen to Pastor Noel or he were to take a call or something like that. We don't have that brain Rolodex like he has. And so, as interesting as it would be, and I'm going to say this on a Wells podcast, I hope it doesn't bring down the house for fellowship reasons. I visited my brother and his family down in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and they belong to a Missouri Synod church. And so we walked into this church, and my granddaughter, or not my granddaughters, his daughters, my nieces were like, "Pastor, Clark, Uncle Clark, you got to come check in." And I'm like, "What's this all about?" And they had at this church three or four little kiosks like we have, and I'll explain in a moment, where you type in, "I'm a visitor." If you want to get as detailed as you want, your address, all of that. And then boom, it would print out a label for you. And as my sainted professor Balgi always said at the seminary, why reinvent the wheel, steal? So he told us that advice, and I'm like, okay, I got to learn more about this. So long story short, it is a program called Planning Center, and there are a lot better gurus out there on Planning Center. Jonathan Favorite has been a great asset for us. He's up at the core in Appleton, and he talked us through the system. And at first it was kind of a, no, I don't want to do this. We're with Servant Keeper. It's going to take a lot to get all of our information over to the new system. So we kind of, it like everything, it started out and then it flopped. But then afterwards, a few people got on board. We had a secretary that has helped. And we started looking into, could we do this check-in process? And we didn't launch it right away to the congregation. I have what's called like a soft opening. We had one iPad and a printer and a little kiosk set up outside my office, kind of off the beaten path. And we would select certain demographics. It wasn't, well, it's just going to be young people that like this. No, there are older folks that love to use their phones and technology. And we kind of rolled that out in a soft open, I don't know, maybe three years ago. And then when the calendar year turned to the new one, we launched it out to the public. And again, it's Planning Center, and the program is check-ins. And I know there are other systems that are out there, so I'm not saying this is the one you have to go with, but that's what we've used.
So yeah, I'm on the Planning Center's website. I actually could probably share a screen of that. And it looks friendly enough. Was it an easy process to integrate with them? You said you were using different software and you had to switch. And, you know, tell us a little bit about the price around using Planning Center.
Well, you know, that joke that we always hear is, you know, how many wells people does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is zero, because we don't believe in change, right? Those kind of jokes are out there. But it once the people that were seeing how much time, because basically what would happen is Pastor Noel would sit down and Martin, we did that. I shared with you that video. We did kind of a comical video of why we do this. And it really wasn't far from the truth that after worship services, Pastor Noel would sit here with a stack of those friendship registers and just kind of go through. And sometimes you couldn't tell if someone's email was an E or a C. And if you reached out to him, you know, you were getting it bounced back. And so to save him time and, you know, to kind of start a process of, you know, integration, we started to, you know, it was probably, I would say, a good 6 to 8 month process of getting everything off of Servant Keeper onto Planning Center. And for a while, because again, you know, people weren't all bought in, and then that's perfectly fine, we were running simultaneously. We had like a Servant Keeper program we had to update, and then we had Planning Center records we had to update, until more and more people saw that there are other things in Planning Center, like giving, like group scheduling, that has made this program more accessible to the people and easier to use. And to your question about cost, that again depends on, you know, the congregational size. You know, I think our monthly bill for what we use is about $400. And I was just talking yesterday, and again, I'm not trying to get any church secretaries fired or canned, but some of the pastors were talking about some of the extra help that they have to hire people just to do, that this has kind of offset the cost. I mean, you still need someone. We still have secretaries that go through the data, enter the data and everything like that. But some of the longer, tedious stuff is done in a more automated way.
So how do visitors know to do this? So they're first time, maybe they're not with a member. I'm assuming if a member brought them, then The member could walk them through, hey, here's what you do, here's a name tag. What if somebody's kind of fresh, brand new there? How does that
Yeah,
work?
in the old way, we just, God blessed us with opening a new sanctuary. So I'll start with how it was is, let's say Yana brings you, she checks in her family of, I'll say 3.5, right? Because one's out of one, right? And
Point
right
seven
at the,
five,
yeah,
yeah.
well, yes, yeah. Right at the check-in page, it says, do you have a visitor joining you today? And then you would hit add visitor, you would type in Martin Spriggs, and then boom, a name tag comes out. Now that we have our facility where we're happy with it, we have four check-in stations kind of spaced out in our fellowship hall. We have one that is set up just for visitors, and we have someone that's manning, or I don't know if the proper term is ladying it, because there's male or female greeters that are there that are like, oh, are you a greeter? Or excuse me, are you a visitor? Here, would you mind checking in? And it's really neat on the back end of things because, as you know, sometimes you get just a bunch of names of people introducing themselves to you. And after the service, very, very quickly, Pastor Noel or I could just print up a who was in second service. I know they said hi to me. Oh, it was okay, good. I can reach out to them, and it's just a slick way of doing things. Again, not the only way, but it's worked for us just with the sheer size of visitors that we get.
Very good. So we've talked about the software. I assume there's some hardware as well. You talked about kiosk and things. What kind of machinery is behind the scenes making this happen?
Yeah, I'm an Apple guy, so I will say we went with iPads. You can find those for anywhere for 200 to 300 bucks. Download the app called Check-In, and it's pretty self-sufficient that way. Obviously, you'll have to have had your main database all uploaded, and then after that, we got Brother printers. There's many different types of little label printers. The ones that we went with, and I don't have the number, the model number in front of me, but it's a QL, and I know it's 82, I believe. Yeah, that one right there. That is Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. And you can get those a lot cheaper if you shop around. But the reason we went with this particular model is if Wi-Fi goes out, then you're like, what are we going to do? All you need is a Bluetooth connection with the iPad, and it will still work, and you're still up and running. And that was why we chose this particular brand. Are there other brands out there? Yeah. Could you use it with, maybe a Microsoft tablet? Sure. Right. You could even use it with Chromebooks, as well. The one thing I'll say about Planning Center, and that is their help center is like, I love it because I've in our early years had a lot of I don't know questions. And if I couldn't get a hold of like Jonathan Favorite, he would always say, just ask the Planning Center folks. And I'd ask him and I'd have an answer within an hour, which I was like, oh, okay, this is great. And they're very helpful to open to suggestions on things that, hey, have you thought about this? And sometimes they will. And sometimes it's the maybe not, and we'll think about that, and who knows where we're at on the queue.
So what's the feedback been from your membership? And I'm assuming maybe did you do name tags even before this, or so that whole process?
That's a funny story too, because we have Nancy Hofferman. She is one of the founding members from the church, and what they would always do when they were a smaller church, church of 100, church of 200, and she would bring this huge binder that she would type or print out every week name tags. Okay, and like one time she got COVID, and I always smile. I can't remember, it was on a Saturday Night Live skit where they joked on a news program if the teleprompter went down and all the news anchors were like, I don't know what to do with my hands. What do we do here? And that was almost how it was when people were like, what, we have no labels? What is going on? And we ended up throwing away a lot of labels, obviously, from folks that didn't come or didn't grab their labels. So the cost that we looked at was, well, we want Nancy to be with us until Jesus says, but why not do something where we're not wasting? Because those labels just got pitched at the end of the service, and there was usually a log jam. We just had a small round table, and people are searching through, are you A to B, or, no, I'm D to whatever. And so this now, you just come in, punch in your family name or phone number, and it'll give you the list of who's all in your household. Dunk, dunk, dunk. Are they here? Boom. And the labels print out.
So it's a
Visitors are
c cool with labels.
Yeah, we kind of like to say that it's the impression that we want to, hey, everyone else is wearing them, we're wearing them.
Okay.
We want to
Yeah, it
know who
makes a
you are.
difference. Yeah.
And it's been helpful to me because even at, I don't know if this can happen. I'm in my 50s and my memory isn't what it used to be. And sometimes folks will come and I'm like, I think I'm pretty sure I know their name. They're maybe newer. But if they're wearing a label, I can be like, oh, hey, Martin, hey, how's it going? Great to see you, and we're long lost friends.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a couple of other things you use with Planning Center. Do you have next steps around visitor tracking and things or other areas that you're exploring
Oh,
to
yeah, and
up
this,
the ante?
yeah, I would say down, I think it's Crosswalk Church down in Arizona. Pastor Salofra gave me the, hey, Planning Center has saved his life because we have set up now a system where like everybody takes their car in at 3,000 miles, 6,000 miles, 9,000 miles. We call it now the spiritual checkup, where at six, if we haven't seen you check in 3,000 miles or 3 months, so to speak, we will have a phone call from one of the pastors. If we haven't seen you in 6 months, 6,000 miles, one of our it's not just an elder, it's a person that just is like, hey, we miss you. Is everything okay? And then at 9 months, it goes back to the pastor, and then at 12 months, we ask the question, do you still want to be fed God's word here by us? And that's been a very slick process. Again, Pastor Noel was very good at that with a smaller congregation, but now where you have numbers that are, a follow-up to that then is the algorithm that we have to put in of whose names get spit out. Well, obviously we put in, how do you want to say it? I guess I'll just say algorithm, where we're not going to have college students on there because obviously they're bound to check in. We do have a few of the folks that, well, we know that they're like, we are not using this technology. And so we're like, okay, that's fine. So their names have been opted out. So they're not getting a phone call in 3 months saying, why you haven't been to church, when they have been to church. My prayer for them though is that they see the backside of it, that it's helping us as pastors. It's not just something new, as you guys probably experience in the tech world, that we're just trying to throw at people to confuse them and upset them. It's actually helping us as pastors and as staff be more efficient and care for the souls that are here that are present, as well as those that we miss.
Yeah. I have to ask before we let you go. Thanks for your time, by the way. Who came up with the idea for the video?
Who do you think, Mart? Know me, I'm the shy one.
That's like,
No,
right.
I enjoy that, and that's part of my, right now we're doing sermon teasers, and anytime it's that's what I said to earlier before maybe we're on the air or not, just I have a liking for tech. I'm dangerous enough, or I know enough but don't know enough, and
Right.
kind of love to share the joy of Jesus, whether it's with you or on air or in video.
Perfect. Appreciate your time, Clark. So if you want to check out what this all is, and if you're in the West Bend area, which is about 45 minutes, half hour north of Milwaukee, stop in to Shepherd of the Hills. They will welcome you, but they will ask you to address the iPad as you enter. So,
I had a couple pastors yesterday at pastors conference say they're looking at this idea and they're gonna send some members from their church in a
there you go.
way to check it out.
Shout
But
it out.
yeah, please do come. I'm happy to, and our staff is very happy to walk you through the process, as well as what was it like to make that big switch over. And yeah, if it works for you, great. If not, You know, do what
There are
you
other ways.
makes it work for you.
Exactly. Thanks again, Clark, for your time. Great things going on at Shepherd of the Hills, and blessings on your ministry there.
Yeah, you guys as well. God bless. Give President Schrader a hug or high five for me.
Of course.
We get to choose.
Nice to meet you, Sally. Take care. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you, Clark, for your time, your ministry, your innovative ideas, and your energy. Clark has never been short on any of those. So, what do you think, Sally?
I thought that was a pretty fun interview of all the spectrum of interviews we've been involved in. He's a lot of fun. I
Yes.
also think that their video, which he mentioned, kind of their infomercial that introduced people to the kiosk concept that he talked about, is well worth your time.
Pretty funny.
So, I mean, I would even venture to say maybe pause the podcast and go watch the video because it's really well done and
In the
fun
show
to
notes, of
watch.
course, it is. So,
Yes.
yeah, it is fun. They did a nice job with that. And if you know those guys, fits right in with their personality too. So it's well received and, innovative approach. And not a actually, when you add up all the numbers, not all that expensive. If you kind of go to, depending on how many kiosks you have, you can get, kind of fitted out for that for 2 grand, something like that. You could probably even go cheaper. But that's not bad. That's not bad. Now you need to have the kind of the right entry area, and I think that's one of the challenges some of our congregations have. How much space do you have? And when you're talking about visitor tables and information centers, those kinds of things, those are all important. And I think congregations are figuring out, as they're making maybe building plans, that that gathering space, that entry place, is important. Maybe just as important as the worship area.
Yeah, I agree. In our church in particular, we have just a big open space right outside the sanctuary. There's no walls between, so it just feels like a really natural flow into the sanctuary, but also room for coffee and donuts, room for that visitor's table, and I think super important. So good stuff. Do you guys wear name tags every week, Martin, at your church?
We don't wear name tags. I shouldn't say that. There are some individuals, ushers certainly do, greeters, church leaders will sometimes wear name tags. I have one, but I have to admit I don't wear it regularly. Sits in my car most of the time, but it there they are. But in Clark's case, everybody wears a name tag, which I
It's the
actually like. I
culture.
like the idea. How about you guys?
So we do it about twice a year. We'll show up to church and there'll be a table, even before that gathering space, we're just like walk in the door, let's get our name tags on. And it's around dates where we recognize new members and things like that, just trying to be more welcoming and make sure everybody can know who everybody's name is. But I like the concept of just putting it on. And I also like it's right there in your hand. It's not in your car where you forgot it or whatever, even though it's nice to have the more polished, maybe magnetized name tags or whatever that are reusable and everything. This concept is good. You mentioned the investment, and I guess I was a little bit surprised at the monthly cost that Pastor Schultz mentioned in
Oh,
the
for the
interview
planning center piece,
for the
yeah.
planning center
And you don't
software.
actually have to use that particular software. There's other things that you could do
Sure.
too, but
But I bet that is significantly lower than the amount of time it takes to manually input all of that paper. And that's what we do at our church. We do a paper version and we encourage everyone to sign in every week with a paper, what we call a connection card. And I just really hadn't stopped and thought about the time-consuming nature and resource consuming nature. You've got to pay someone potentially to do that or have very consistent volunteers that are willing to take on that kind of a job. And so I can definitely see the benefits, especially when you start talking about the size congregation that they have there at Shepherd of the Hills.
Yeah. And the churn of volunteers, like he
It's
mentioned, you
hard.
mentioned that there's sometimes that turnover and things get lost, and then things kind of slowly get a little dusty and to go a little sideways there. So it's important to keep that thing running, humming along. So this seems like a way to to do that. So kudos to them. What other things do you do in your congregation to welcome, let's say, visitors, Sally?
Great question. Actually, I'm going to do a quick screen share for those who are watching video. We do have a couple of examples. We'll link to some photos and things of the paper connection cards. One from Divine Savior down in Doral, Florida. And in that case, they say, take your connection card and go to the Visitor Welcome Center. So they put something in everyone's hands to fill out, but then they encourage the visitors to really connect after the service with a real person. It seems like I remember when we were worshiping there for our AI Summit weekend, the real person was standing at the Welcome Center waving at people to encourage them to come over and meet them. In my congregation, we use maybe a little bit less polished card, I guess less expensive. It's just printed on regular copier paper, a certain color. So it's recognizable. We always do blues, where we, write down our name and contact information, especially if we're visitors, and then indicate if we're a first-time guest or repeat college student member, whether or not we're going to commune that day, that kind of thing. And then we have the reverse side to make use of as well, where people can indicate if they're interested in learning more about our school or baptism or other things going on in the congregation. And then also an area for questions, comments, or prayer requests. So all of that in one little slip of paper. Now, those go in every single bulletin every single Sunday. We have these connection cards in those bulletins. And then there's also a little leather bound, folio type thing, pretty small, like a 5x7 size, nothing real large, that's in the pew Bible book holder on the back of the pew with a few pins. So if someone didn't get a connection card through the bulletin, there's a few on the pew available for people to make use of it as well. Our pastors consistently mention this every service. Even when we have guest pastors, they must tell them, you have to point out the connection card because they do it at the beginning of the service as they're greeting people and, introducing the service. And then they do it right before the offering when we encourage people to put them in the offering. And we also have a basket as they're exiting church on a table next to where pastor is greeting, that they can drop their connections cards into the basket as well. So make a real effort consistently every single service to talk about the connection card and encourage people to fill it out. And I will say, occasionally the pastors will actually stop and fill out their card at the pulpit before they even hand the ushers the offering. So they put their own card in the offering plate before they hand them to the ushers to be passed. And so just kind of physically giving them time and showing someone filling it out right in front of them, to kind of emphasize the importance of that. So, yeah, obviously a great way to gather that visitor information.
And then you mentioned, and you mentioned it, that they did it at Doral, Divine Savior in Doral, and I think you do it, and we're considering in our congregation is, just kind of a giveaway toward, for the visitors, so that there is some kind of take home from them, and it can be, anything. We're in our congregation, we're talking about some, maybe some kind of drink holder, whether that's a thermos or a mug or something like that, and then other materials in that to for them to remember, that they were here. Stickers are always fun for kids, those kinds of things.
Stickers are fun for adults.
Hey, I
Vinyl on
guess
my
they are.
computer is a thing. So, yeah, I actually have a few pictures I snapped from this past Sunday of our welcome table, and it's changed over time, but it's pretty prominent in that greeting area. It's not, shoved off in a corner where it's hard to find or anything. It's very obvious. Has a banner behind it, Welcome to St. Paul's. We actually mention visitors, please go there. We have gift bags, we have free Bibles. There's some Bible reading plans on the table. Various things like invitations to our schools, our Jesus Loved Me Learning Center, the Beacon Campus Ministry, just different things like that. Schedules of like we this particular table had our Easter worship schedule card on it, things like that. And then we do have some vinyl. I think I even got an up close picture Oh, I looked in the bag. Our little gift
Mm-hmm.
bags have like some snacks and invitation to church and different things like that. And then the stickers are very Christian oriented, fun stuff. I actually got one, and I think I'd have to scroll through a million pictures to find it, but I stuck one on my computer of Jesus giving me a hug. It had a lady whose hair looked like mine and everything. It was kind of a cartoonish looking picture, and I just love it. Jesus is loving me right there, reminding me on my computer. So I think it's pretty
Nice.
fun to have that kind of stuff available.
Yeah, that's quite the collection of stickers there.
It is.
Did they get a value pack or something? Or did you create
Pastor,
all those?
no, actually, Pastor Nelson said they got them on Amazon. So you can
Okay.
get that kind of thing pretty affordable on Amazon,
Good idea. I
apparently.
like it. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Okay.
he said it's real popular with the college kids. So I guess that's the genre I fall in, is just like that age group of college kids. So yeah, there's my computer with Jesus hugging me on it. So fun stuff. If I was a visitor, I'd feel pretty welcome to get all kinds of gifts and free Bible and lots of fun stuff like that. I think that's a great way to do it. So
Yep.
I did pick Pastor Nelson's brain. Pastor Marcus Nelson serves at St. Paul's North Mankato. And you mentioned coffee mugs. He thinks that's a really great place to start. They usually have some seasonal things in the treats that they offer in the gift bags or whatever, maybe hot chocolate for winter or something like that. Let's see. We have a, and I don't have my mug here that has it on it, but we have a vinyl with our church logo on it. So a vinyl sticker that you can give people with your church logo. And then, yeah, kid-friendly items. He had a lot of great things. He likes the idea of staffing the table, putting someone that's actually dedicated to trying to make a connection and learn people's names and, make it very low risk for them to take the giveaways, just something to draw people in and get some good stuff there. And I think his main point in a lot of what he said was it's trial and error. Maybe mugs are a hot item and a lot of people take them, or maybe they aren't, and you learn to do something different the next time you are filling up your bags or whatever. So really nice of him to share ideas.
And online registration or content capture is also a good thing. If you're watching online, maybe an easy way to say that, hey, you were there and have questions or want more information, that kind of thing, of course. Or if you put up a QR code or whatever in church, if somebody's not wanting to fill something out, they can take a snap and open it up on their phone or do it later. So,
Yeah, and we do just that. When we have the slide that comes up for offering, it has the QR code. If you're worshiping online, we have a little bit of a shorter online Google form, easy to fill out. But if you are in person and scanning the QR code, then it pretty much parallels the exact same questions that you saw on the paper connection card. It's all there, quick and easy to record your attendance at church or visiting.
great. All right. Once again, thanks to Pastor Clark Schultz for joining us on the show and sharing some of the things that they're doing. And if you guys, meaning the listeners, viewers, have ideas or things that your congregation does that we haven't talked about, we'd love to hear about that. So let us know that. WellsTech@wells.net is our email address, or go to our show notes page, WellsTech.wells.net, to leave a comment there, or look at the socials that we are involved with and connect with us there. So,
Yeah, I love it that Pastor Schultz said he got the idea from his brother's congregation. That's a really good reason to do some visiting around as you have the opportunity or as you're on vacation or whatever. It's really neat to see how different congregations handle it, and get ideas and use what you can. I think he said something about stealing things, and that's an okay thing to do, to steal those kind of great ideas.
Yeah, it is. All right. Let's move along with the next segment in our show, which is ministry resources.
Yeah, we thought it would be a great time to highlight our friends at Concordia Technology Solutions. So they're putting out some great content, good food for thought, kind of little snippets and things that can help you declutter your church email box or streamline your workflow or, rethink email management, whatever it may be. I think there's some great thought behind all the different posts that are available in the CTS blog area. They also typically publish those same kind of things on their Facebook page. And so if you aren't following their Facebook page, if Facebook is your thing, then maybe you want to follow their Facebook page. We'll include a link in the show notes. I guess I should probably say CTS or Concordia Technology Solutions are the people behind Church 360 and Member 360. Church 360 Ledger, Shepherd Staff, if you're back prior to the web-based tools. And we have a great relationship with them and also offer some they offer some discounts to Wells congregations that are involved with their software. So check out the links in our show notes for those kind of opportunities as well.
Very good. Yep, we like those guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's move on to our picks of the week.
Well, I had this realization that we've done some pretty neat vamping up of the call report recently. For those that aren't familiar, the call report is where we list the pastor's, teacher, and staff minister calls or changes in ministry, such as retirements. And it's a pretty popular place. I would venture to say it is the most popular or visited place on wells.net. And if you haven't been there lately, you should definitely go to wells.net/call report and click on Access the Current Call Report because it's got a brand new look and feel to it. And I'd say has been very well received. So again, it allows us to see calls that are issued, calls that are accepted, calls that are returned, and then, if there are other changes in ministry to be reported, those are on there as well. And in the past, it was kind of a top-down, read it, find what you're looking for by just scrolling a whole bunch because it can get pretty long with all the different call activity that's out there, but now it's searchable and filterable. So if you're looking, for instance, for your congregation, I'll just grab one from maybe further down the list. You can search on your particular city, for instance, and it'll collapse things down to just what you're looking for. So searching is huge. If you're really just interested in the staff minister information that's on the report, you can turn on and off pastor, teacher, and staff minister information. And as if that wasn't exciting enough, you've got this whole action menu here, which lists all the different areas that have records. So sometimes there are no called to eternal glory, for instance. And so it would be grayed out if there aren't any of that type. But you can just jump right down the page to a particular section by using that action menu. And if you didn't notice, higher up in the menu, there are PDF downloads. You can switch it to dark mode. You can do all kinds of fun things with the call report these days. And that's just our current call report. What I've been showing you is the one that was released this past Monday. But there's also links in the top blue bar in the upper right area to archived call reports. So you can jump back in time if that's your desire to see what happened sometime in the past and what the status of the calls were on a particular date. Or you can use the link in the upper right area that's labeled summary to go to basically a collection of call reports. So rather than just looking at it one week at a time, you can see all of the finalized things in a summarized way. So it'll default to showing you like the last 3 months, but there's options for this past year or this past month, whatever you may be interested in. Or you can even put in a custom date range. So for instance, if you're interested only in things that happened, I don't know, since March 1st through today, you can put in a particular custom date range. And yeah, throw today's end date. If I knew what that was, it's May 1st. Sorry, I'm in April. And yeah, For whatever reason, I'm not selecting the end date correctly. And then you can hit apply and it'll show you the information for a customized date range. So again, all those different searching and filtering and action menu items are all available both in the summary and the archived reports, just like in the current report. So if you're a call report user and you haven't tried it out yet, or if you have tried it out and have some feedback for us, we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Hopefully it's going to be positive because it was a real leap forward from what we had been doing in the past. So we're excited to share that with you.
Very nice. And we should mention it is mobile friendly as well. So
true.
If you visit it through the Wells app or just go directly in your browser on your phone, you will get to experience a kind of a sleeker hand size version of the call report. So,
and of course, I'm doing it in my computer browser as I demonstrate that, but definitely works beautifully on mobile. So,
yep, get it wherever you are. All right. My pick of the week, Sally, is a Coursera course. Coursera is an online learning solution. And the course that I'm going to recommend is called Prompt Engineering for ChatGPT. We've got our team at the CMM, our technology team at the CMM, going through this for an offsite we're doing in a couple weeks. And I thought this would maybe be good to recommend to anybody interested in better using ChatGPT or really any AI-based tool like it, Gemini or Claude or Perplexity or whatever. It is a video-based series, and it is run by a professor, or it was crafted by a professor at I think Vanderbilt, I want to say. Very smart guy, very easy to listen to. Jules White is his name, Dr. Jules White, professor of computer science there. And he has, I don't know what, 30 videos, maybe. They're all five to 10 minutes long. And you could actually get certified and actually pay for the course to do the tests and the things that would get you a certification, although you don't have to. So it is totally free. And you do, I think, have to have an account, but that's free too. And it will talk you through, or he'll walk you through, a number of ways to get the most out of your prompts. Stuff I had never even heard of, but now that I've seen, I think there is definitely application anytime you're sitting in front of that blank prompt wondering what to ask AI and how to get more out of your little assistant there. Some pretty cool stuff. And he goes into a little bit deeper dive on large language models, but it's not by any stretch something that you need to be a tech, deep into tech to get. One thing I like about his teaching style is he gives on almost every video good concrete examples. So it's not just philosophical lectures. He walks through examples and tests it and shows you the results and those kinds of things. It's got maybe a couple years on it as far as age wise, but I think the prompts are all relevant, and I think will work just fine in the modern ChatGPT or whatever. At least the concepts certainly do. So that's my pick of the week.
And don't be intimidated by it saying that it takes 18 hours. Just dive in and do it, and maybe set the videos on 1.5 speed or something.
That's what I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, just learn from him and do some experimenting. I think it's very interesting to kind of take a step back and understand what the AI is doing for you and how best to address it. I think one of the main challenges I'm finding, Martin, tip my hat to our upcoming tech team meeting, is it seems like prompts have to be pretty detailed in order to get pretty detailed responses. So you got to spend your time on that prompting. You can't
garbage in, garbage out, read my mind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
although the modern AI does remember
Yep.
And you can actually give it a profile and say, this is who I am, and these are the things I am interested in, et cetera. So yeah, it's good stuff. It's
It
worth looking at. So
For sure.
let's move on to our community news and feedback, Sally.
Sure. And one more screen share by me, and just a quick mention of our friend Grace Ungmach, who is running a website called Lutheran.marketing. And Grace produces a weekly e-news. It comes out every Friday morning. And one really caught my eye recently, Martin, because Grace has just got a really down-to-earth way of explaining things. And she gave us a crash course on domain settings. So if you always wondered a little bit about what goes into making a domain and what it means when you have a subdomain versus a redirect on your domain or a path on your domain. She explains it in really easy to understand terms, gets into a little bit about DNS records and CNAMEs and MX records. And I was very impressed with how down to earth she wrote this and how it made real good sense to me when I didn't quite understand kind of that black box of what is a domain and all of the tentacles and ways they can be set up and things. So, a good one to highlight from Grace. But like I said, her weekly e-news is, in my opinion, very worthwhile to sign up for. She's always coming up with some great things for you on her e-news. So,
Very approachable, usually
check
a
it
1 to 2 minute read even. So
out.
bite size. I like it.
Large fonts, so my eyes don't struggle. All
Yeah.
the good right here on Grace's e-news. So check it out.
Yeah, very good. Again, thanks everybody for your time and attention. If you want to connect with us, which we would love it if you would, again, wellstech@wells.net's the email, wellstech.wells.net's our show notes page with 749 episodes of technology and ministry goodness. So it's all right there for you. Hope you will tune in next time to our 750th show. We're going to have Jason Schmidt and Rachel Reno join us and talk a little bit more about the school year, its focus on and use of SAMR. And leadership and ed tech policies, best practices, including AI policies. Who'd have thunk? So,
Yeah, time to get up to date on those even.
absolutely. Thanks everybody for joining us. Have a great rest of your day and week, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye bye.